So tonight we're going to be looking at the third chapter of Zephaniah. It's the last chapter in this little book, and it's quite a powerful scripture. So Zephaniah 3. Woe to the city that is rebellious and defiled, the oppressive city. She has not obeyed. She's not accepted discipline. She's not trusted in Yahweh. She is not drawn near to her God. The princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are wolves of the night, which leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are reckless, treacherous men. Her priests profane the sanctuary. They do violence to instruction. The righteous Lord is in her. He does no wrong. He applies his justice morning by morning. He does not fail at dawn. Yet the one who does wrong knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their corner towers are destroyed. I have laid waste their streets with no one to pass through. Their cities lie devastated, without a person, without an inhabitant. I thought, you will certainly fear me and accept correction. Then her dwelling place would not be cut off based on all that I had allocated to her. However, they became more corrupt in all their actions. Therefore, wait for me. This is the Lord's declaration. Until the day I rise up for plunder. For my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, in order to pour out my indignation on them. All my burning anger for the whole earth will be consumed by the fire of my jealousy. For I will then restore pure speech to the people so that all of them may call on the name of Yahweh and serve him with a single purpose. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my supplicants, my dispersed people will bring an offering to me. On that day, you will not be put to shame because of everything you've done in rebelling against me. For then, I will remove your proud, arrogant people from among you, and you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. I will leave a meek and humble people among you, and they will take refuge in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel will no longer do wrong or tell lies. A deceitful tongue will not be found in their mouths, but they will pasture and lie down with nothing to make them afraid. Sing for joy, daughter Zion. Shout loudly, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The King of Israel, Yahweh, is among you. You need no longer fear harm. On that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, do not fear Zion, do not let your hands grow weak. Yahweh, your God, is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will bring you quietness with his love. He will delight in you with shouts of joy. I will gather those who have been driven from the appointed festivals. They will be a tribute from you and approach on her. Yes, at that time I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame and gather the scattered. I will make those who were disgraced throughout the earth receive praise and fame. At that time I will bring you back. Yes, at that time I will gather you. I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, Yahweh has spoken. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us to be good servants. Help me to explain this well and help everybody to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we've gone through this, Zephaniah has talked about judgment of other countries, but now he's going back to talking about the judgment of Jerusalem. He tells them that they need to repent, and then he lists the Lord's grievances against them. First, he gives an indictment. He's repeating the complaints of the prophet Habakkuk, who basically talked to God and said, "Why are you putting up with this? Why are you letting people do this?" God is not being obeyed. The people are not accepting discipline. They're not trusting in Yahweh, and they're not drawing near to Him like they're supposed to. Now, as we continue into this, we discover that it begins talking more and more about the end of times. At this time, however, he's discussing the leaders that are taking advantage of the people. We're the leaders. You're going to give us everything that we want. We're going to plunder you. And the prophets and priests are not doing their jobs. They're not telling people the message of God. This is one of the things that's very common within prophets that we have in the Bible, in that they were talking to prophets that are not in the Bible and saying, "You're false prophets. You're not saying what God has to say." Now, some of them say, "You know this. You're a prophet. You know this. And so you're in more trouble than the false prophets because you're not telling what God has told you to tell people." And the reason they don't is because they're afraid. Jeremiah, for instance, when it comes right down to it, Jeremiah was very afraid because he was going out and he was telling people, "That's it. It's done. You need to surrender to the Babylonians," which most people saw as treason, quite reasonably. But the fact is that it was what God said He wanted for the people. He said, "You have done this. I have sent Babylon to punish you. Now give it up and go with them and do your time. And when it's all done, I'll bring you back and I'll fix all of this." People didn't want to hear it. And so most of the prophets didn't want to tell people. The priest's primary job was to intercede between God and man. They made all of the sacrifices and all of this, and then they lived off of it. If people brought a sacrifice, then they would burn a memorial portion of it, and the rest went to the priest. So that's how they got their living. But they were telling people, "Oh no, you have done something wrong. You need to make the following much too high sacrifices," because they wanted this stuff. However, God says He's there and He wants to correct this. He wants to turn it all around. And then comes the judgment. God judged the other nations specifically so His people could see it, and they should have followed Him. They should have said, "Those are the Gentiles. Yeah, they're going to do stuff that God doesn't like. I need to follow God and do what He told me to do. I need to be a good servant of His." They didn't follow. They got worse than the Gentiles. They were very debauched. They were just acting in whatever way they wanted to. They were following every god on the face of the planet. And at the end of time, the Gentiles are going to rise, but God will judge them. And this is where we begin to get into end times. This is where Zephaniah begins talking about when it all ends. And then he talks about restoration. And the restoration he's talking about is the restoration that comes during the millennial kingdom. Following the final battle, God will restore all the earth. He'll make it just the way it ought to be. This was His plan all along. In the end, he will remove those who rebel so others can worship. You see, it makes it very hard for people to worship if other people are worshiping something else and are forcing them not to worship what God told them to worship. Israel will be joyous because God will be among them. And Israel will be restored specifically to be ruled by Jesus. Now, as I said before, there's a lot of interpretation of all kinds of prophecy as to exactly how this is all supposed to turn out. We know that Revelation is very symbolic. A lot of it may or may not be exactly true. It may just be symbolism. However, if you think about it, and Billy Graham made this point in one of his sermons, I remember it way back in the 60s, where he said, what if you were a person and you were living in the year 90? No 19s, teens, whatever, just 90. It's been 90 years. And all of a sudden, God took you and showed you now. And once again, then he was talking about the 1960s. Think about it now and what kind of armament and what kinds of stuff we've got. And you see this, and you see the wars going on, and you see all of this stuff. And he says, write down what you saw. We have no context. So that's why Revelation is very often very hard to understand. Because John is doing his best to write down what he sees, but he doesn't know what it is. He's seeing maybe even a future for us.
Maybe even
2525, yeah. Famous rock song.
Yeah.
But at any rate, when Jesus comes, there will be a battle. There will be a major battle, and the devil gets his butt kicked. I always used to love this little evangelist Jewish guy, Zora Levitt, and he said, the Bible is a book with the answers in the back. Guess what? We win. So, what does this all mean to us? Well, like I said, this sounds like today. We have people who are not obeying God, not accepting discipline, not trusting in God, not drawing near to Him. We try, and the government very often does everything they can to stop us. Our leaders are taking advantage of the people. We look around and we see it. We know that we have crooked leaders all over the place. Both sides, not taking a side here. We have people who are preaching, sometimes for profit. It's not quite as bad now as it used to be, but it used to be that these people were preaching and the whole idea was, send me money, send me money, send me money. Okay? We have people who are teaching peace and love and all this old crap, but they're not teaching the truth. They're not teaching the fact that God wants you to be a godly person and follow His rules. The church must obey and trust God. He wants to fix it. He wants to fix everything. We see success where God is obeyed and failure where He is not. We should be able to observe this and say, hey, I think following God works better than not following God. We've seen in our country when we have been a people of God, we have done far better than when we decided to be a people of, you know, whatever is going on now. The end is getting nearer every day. I mean, that's the way it is. We know the end's coming. We don't know when. But we know that it's one day closer today than it was yesterday, and it'll be another day closer tomorrow. We must always be ready when the time comes. My belief is that when the whole thing starts, there will be the rapture and then the tribulation. I could be wrong. We may have to go through half of the tribulation and then a rapture. I find it hard to believe the rapture will come at the end, because that's nothing but a great celestial U-turn, as I used to say. People would be raptured, turn right around, and come back with Jesus to rule the millennium. I believe that it's either at the beginning of the tribulation or in the middle. And then we'll be there with him for a while, and when he says, okay, let's go, guys, that we will go. Now, people who know me understand that I am, by nature, a warrior. It's just the way I am. I have known people who, and my dad was probably one of the biggest ones, who were very peaceful. They didn't want anything. They would go to great lengths to prevent disagreements or problems. But there comes a time when you have to put your foot down. That's where my mom came in. Something would be going on, and I'd be trying to get along at school and doing whatever was, and I'd be being mistreated, and she would go in and she'd go, I'm not going to have this. And you'd have to see my mom. She's about the size of Pat, just tiny. But she would go in and she'd be looking like a little banty rooster. You're not treating my kid like this. Cut it out. And so we need to be like that. We need to be people who want to bring peace, but be ready to fight when people want to go against God and just go, no, we're not doing that. When we're told, you have to do these things, and we say, no, no, I'm not doing that. God tells me not to do that. God tells me to do this thing you told me not to do. We have to be ready. When the time comes, there's going to be a fight. The thing to remember, and I say this probably too much, Jesus said, I give you peace, but not like the world sees peace. It's not an absence of conflict. It's just the ability to make it through. We need to trust in him and be ready for whatever comes at us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us to be good servants and to teach people about you and to lead people to know you. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless us and that we'll be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So,